Live from the In the Room studios located in the Net Carrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Today, I declare myself officially a rodeo clown.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
None of these assholes would have the ball to say any of this to anyone live.
I get hard as one of them stones. I'm going to hurl at a homosexual.
He's got 6 ounces of weed, and he's saving his roaches?
Bangable and diabetic.
Pass the car keys
to Stevie Wonder.
Free speech zone should just be the air, motherfucker.
Catch the crowd.
The show is wildly popular.
Live from the Crab Diving Studios in Koreatown, Los Angeles, USA. It's Crab Nation with your hosts, Patrick Voss, Ryan Pfeiffer.
Listening to us, everybody. The first song that went out, don't know. It was supposed to be a little bit of Prince.
Sounded horrible.
We're gonna have
what
to.
The fuck was
yeah,
that?
Heads are gonna have to roll.
Well,
that
would be my head. I did that. I sent you the song. I failed. Kate, give me a sword to fall on. A pun.
So we're here till 2 p.m. Pacific, till 5 p.m. on the Eastern Type Coast. If you're listening to us out there, thanks for doing that. My name's Patrick Vile.
I'm Ryan Pfeiffer.
Joining us live and in person,
dun, dun, dun.
Again, the very funny comedian from Los Angeles, California, Mr. Brent Paris.
What's happening, y'all?
How's it going, man?
I'm good. How about you?
Oh, awesome. Just awesome. Loving hump day.
Everybody loves a hump day.
Yeah. The humpless hump day.
Yeah, not a lot of humping.
Not a lot of humping going on.
Say. I bet if you did a study of all the days of the week, when do you think people hump the most? On what day?
Probably weekends,
I
would think.
Sunday.
Sunday hump day?
I think people wake up. I think there's a lot of morning sex on a Sunday morning.
Don't you think they get drunk, like on Friday, though, or Saturday night?
Are you saying alcohol leads to sex, to humping?
Yeah, if it's done right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
That's what I'm suggesting.
Yeah, yeah. I think probably I would say, Let me consult my math here, a little research.
Do your ciphering.
Yeah. Thursday night is the most fucking.
Thursday night
is
the most fuckalicious.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're getting ready to have a blast, but you are not sure about someone's sexual past. Part of the skin of your genital area has a cover, but most is still exposed to your lover.
Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, you can get Scroguard if you're worried about your balls touching somebody else while you're fucking or something. It's hump day here. We've got a caller on the line, a very special caller. You love her, you know her, you can't live without her. The voice of Crab Nation, it's Kelly. How's it going, Kelly?
I'm good. Hi, guys. Hi, Brent. How are you?
Hey, Kelly.
Thanks. I love it when you're on the show.
Thanks. I love it when I'm on the show, too. It's too much fun. I love when you call in. You always, like, make me, like, learn something new.
I know. It's very important you know about the vagina. Very important.
I feel enlightened when I get done talking with you.
Hey, someone's got to teach you. That's all I'm saying. You guys never know.
Are you, voice, are you calling from work?
I'm calling, yeah, I'm sitting out in front of my work, kind of.
Yeah.
I'm literally, okay, I'm in my car. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I'm in my car drinking wine to fortify myself. I ain't going to
That's awesome.
You're fortifying yourself.
I work in the customer service industry. I don't know why anyone does this shit sober. It makes me so mad. I want to not hit people. So alcohol, I'm like, just, I'm doing this for them, for their safety.
Right. It's weird because usually alcohol is something that, promotes violence sometimes. I mean, I've seen a lot of drunken people take swings at each other. But for you, it's a calming agent.
It's kind of like sometimes, like, pot makes a lot of people, like, lazy or lethargic or whatever. But, like, Kevin Smith, and I believe you guys do, it actually, like, motivates you. It makes you a little more creative. It gets you, like, fun. It's also awesome. But, I don't know. We all got to pick our poison.
I feel you, sister, because, you know, liquor will calm me down sometimes, too. So it's good, because if I was doing what you did, I'd have to get liquored up, too, because I'd be cussing a bitch out real fast. Because the older I get, the less tolerance I have for that bullshit. I just have to tell people. And I'll be nice about it. They won't like what I tell them, and I'm not ugly. I'm just like, you're an asshole.
You know, That's such a great expression. That's such a Southern thing. Don't be ugly. Don't get ugly. That means don't get upset. Don't get mean, right?
Yeah, don't make me get
ugly. That
mean?
Yeah, isn't that great?
Don't get ugly.
Right.
That's good. I like that.
Right. Oh. Any celebrity sightings at work today?
Well, not yet, because I haven't walked in.
Oh,
okay. I haven't finished my travel yet, but
You're still in your car.
Not yet. Oh, you know, I served Kirsten Dunst yesterday.
Oh.
That fucking bitch. First of all, way ugly in person. I always hate her in her movies. I find her obnoxious.
She's not cute. I've met her. You're right. She's not cute.
Damn. A little bit of a little bit of Kirsten Dunst bashing here on Crab Nation.
Was Kirsten Dunst, is she the one in Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire?
Yeah. He ruined Spider-Man.
Breaking news. Kirsten Dunst is ugly in person? Do you mean physically ugly?
Like, so, yeah, so ugly. We debated whether it was her or not until I got her card. Her credit card.
Was she
cunty? No, she was nice. Like, I don't mean to say, like, you know, yeah, she was nice. We took off her French fries because the cook fucking forgot to make the sweet potato fries, so they came out a little late. And so we didn't charge her for her fries. So her bill was cheaper than it was supposed to be. And she only tipped 15% on the total. And if anyone knows anything about, like, common courtesy, if we take something off, you're correct. And not like, it's not like we forgot it or she didn't eat it. But it just came out literally 3 minutes after the burgers. And so you, as, I mean, if you're a nice human being, you tip on the total of the bill than you do on the discount.
Right.
And it was only 15% flat, like to the penny 15% flat.
It's tough, too, because
like, I how much did you make on Spider-Man?
Right. And also, voice, it's tough for her. It's tough. You don't understand. It's tough to not get your fries with your hamburger. That's just such a
hardship. Stressful.
Right.
I know.
I think you should really just stew in what you really put her through, Kelly, and how she had to sit there and wait for 3 whole minutes.
Right. It's so horrible.
Oh, I didn't see it that way. I guess I'm a horrible person.
She is a celebrity.
We already knew I was.
Yeah, celebrities do not wait.
What was the
first rule?
What was the check total?
The check total, I think, was like almost 30. It was a pretty small check. And then with the fries, it came 20-something. You know, when I took those off.
So
$30. It was like $5.
Right, $30, that should have been a $6 tip if you're doing 20%.
Yeah, and you should have 20%.
God. She didn't leave you $6?
No.
You got to be shitting
me. It was like 5-10 or something. I don't know. And it's
you
not
always
that
remember
big people. Of a difference, but still.
She should have left. She should tip. If you're that rich and you're blessed with a shitty movie career, just tip 100% when you have a $30 check, okay?
Right. When I waited tables, I remembered every shitty tip I got from a celebrity and the ones who stiffed me. And I'll tell you who stiffed me. Rita Wilson stiffed me. Tom Hanks' motherfucking wife stiffed me.
No, he didn't.
Rita Wilson stiffed me. She left $0 on a bill at the Cheesecake Factory in Brentwood back in the 90s. You know who else stiffed me? Bonnie Hunt. But we call her something with a different last name now. She stiffed me.
Bonnie.
But she didn't. She got upset with me because I told her that her order was probably going to cost more than she thought because she was ordering it all jacked up. And the way I have to ring it in due to Cheesecake Factory policy.
Bonnie Hunt from... the 70s TV show.
No, not Bonnie... Not Bonnie, the one day at a time lady. Bonnie Hunt, she was the blonde chick. She wrote stuff like she was in some movies and stuff.
Bonnie Hunt
show for a hot minute.
Yeah.
A really bad sitcom.
I don't remember.
She was kind of the it thing for a little bit. Like she was in Cheaper by the Dozen. She played the wife with Steve Martin. That kind of stuff. Whatever. She stiffed me.
That's
who
sucks.
It was a crappy tipper.
Oh, her. Okay, I just looked
you know
it up
who
on
was
TV.
A good tipper though?
I mean,
Roseanne.
On the internet.
Yeah.
Really?
That doesn't
she would
surprise
tip me.
She
awesome every time, like $100 sometimes, just because she thought I was nice.
Good
for
Roseanne. She gives a shitload of money away to charity.
And I think she waited a table before, so she gets it.
Right. Damn.
Yeah, that makes a big difference. You know the guy, I forget his name now, the black guy from House, he's been on the show since the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Omar Epps.
Right.
That guy, 100% gets it. Like, every time. Like, he'll 100%... He'll max the bill with the tip. And it's awesome. I mean, that's just like a cool dude who gets it.
Awesome. Omar Epps 100% in the 100% club. I feel like we
Omar
should make a
Epps,
list of people that tip. No, that's no fun. Let's make a list of the shitty tippers.
That's more fun. Shame them. Shame them.
Put them in the stockades. Throw shit at them.
Yeah. The best one
because
I ever got.
I
was going to say, the best one I ever got, though, was the woman who played the grandma on Family Matters. Remember that talk show, that show with Urkel? She didn't leave me a tip one time. She left me a fucking signed picture of the cast of Family Matters.
No way.
That
what?
Was my. Yeah, she autographed a picture and left that as her tip. At Marie Callender.
Did you sell that shit on eBay yet? Maybe you.
No,
maybe
I kept it. I still have it. I'm like, well, she's dead now. So I was like, one day if I ever run into her, I was going to be like, this is what you left me for a tip.
That's horrible. A signed picture.
Yeah.
Oh my God. How do you buy milk with that?
Exactly.
Right? Like, thanks for my grandma.
That was before what?
Before eBay or any of that shit.
Oh yeah. Oh God. That's fucking nuts. Hey Voice, do you have a hey, do you have a Muffy moment?
I do. Are you ready for this?
Oh yes.
Oh yeah, can't wait.
So we've talked about vagina odor before, like, you know, the smell. But this is something I found interesting. Like, back, you know, in caveman days, we used to have, you know, a 70s beard of hair down there. And yes, I always assume that that was simply just protection. You know, because you're walking around naked and you're sitting on rocks and shit. But, like, they believe one of the purposes of pubic hair is to retain odor because it'll attract a male.
I've heard that before.
So, girls, yeah, now we shave. A good thing we wear clothes and underwear for protection. But perhaps males are attracted to the odor of the vagina.
Yes, to a box of dildos.
Oh, shit.
But,
well, damn.
Yeah,
I
know,
Kate,
I thought that was crazy.
I'm going to get changed right now.
Okay. So does that mean that basically, like, you know, people always call, like, a mustache the flavor saver, but that's really incorrect? It's like the muff is really the flavor saver.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yes. No, no.
But we've evolved. We've evolved from that.
Yeah, I think we've evolved past that. I mean, I'm sure there is some sort of instinctual, like, not like if it's a bad odor, you know, like, obviously if the girl's got a yeast infection going on, I'm sure they're not attracted to that. But, like, if it's just, there's a little bit of a odor, I'm sure instinctually the male responds to it just because it's nature. But I think it's odd.
How'd you come up
no
with
one
this one?
Okay.
I was
so,
reading, okay. There's this article about studies on women who are more comfortable and have more knowledge about their vagina have a higher frequency of orgasm, which makes sense. I mean, you're less stressed out. It's less weird to you. You know what you're doing. You know what's going on. You're less, you know, you're not afraid of it. Women are
girls are
of
afraid of their pussies.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot. I was for most of my life, honestly, until I became a woman. But, like, yeah, like, no, I was like 25 before I stopped, like, not wanting to even think about my vagina. I mean, outside of sex and shit. But, like, yeah, some women just get it. I mean, look, let's be honest. Vaginas are fucking ugly.
Oh, yeah.
And weird.
We can agree on that.
And there's all these flaps and these holes and these things and these areas and the vagina is a source of a lot of pain, you know, for women. Like, sex isn't always pleasurable if you're stressed out and having a period really fucking sucks. And it's just, you know, what's that smell? Oh, I was working out. That's all it is. But still, no woman has an easy time with their vagina. So it can be a very confronting organ. Like
all right.
It just can be very confronting.
Oh, man.
I'm very perplexed by it. I can tell you that for sure.
Well, Voice, I want to wish you the best of luck today at work. And and also, I want to wish you the best of luck with your vagina. As always.
Yeah,
as always.
Which I totally respect. And I have pretty good luck with my vagina, let's be honest.
Yeah.
If I succeed at one thing in life lately, it's that. Which is, it doesn't mean that's a compliment for myself. It just is.
Just
at
is.
And there we have it.
It is.
It just is.
It is what it is. Well, thanks for calling, Kelly. I hope to see
of
you
course.
Soon.
Of course. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Thanks,
right.
Cal. Have
bye.
A lovely day.
Bye. That was hey. Kelly, the voice of Crab Nation, with her vagina wisdom.
Her little.
So are we to believe that, from what she just told us, that cave women had, like, Duck Dynasty beards going on down there? Like they,
yeah. Well, what else would they have, though? I mean, I don't know.
But how did they hit a pubes hit a point and they just kind of stop? Like, mine, when I go full bush, it kind of hits a range and it stops.
Well,
it's not like my hair or my...
Right, right.
It'll just
yeah,
keep going.
Yeah.
Maybe cave women, it looked like they had a garden gnome in their lap or something.
Brent, do you go? What are you, full bush on the weekend?
Dude, I used to do all that manscaping. I gave that shit up. I go full bush now.
Full there you go, ladies and gentlemen.
Man style.
You heard it here.
If you can't take it, then get out. I don't care. I'll find somebody who can.
There you go. It's a buyer's market. Or a seller's market.
Fuck y'all.
Learned a lot already today.
That was amazing.
I can go to bed.
That was truly.
I've figured out enough stuff for the day.
Right.
Jesus. This video is taught to liberal douchebags out there. Do you think attacking me is going to stop me from doing what I'm going to do? Fuck no, it ain't. I could give two shits less about any one of you. Every one of you liberal fucking faggots can sit there and drop fucking dead, and it wouldn't faze me in the least. You know what? I got fucking family that's liberals. Guess what? I don't fucking talk to them.
That guy
what
goes
a shock, huh?
That guy goes full bush.
You think
that
he does? Goes, he doesn't manscape,
yes.
I don't
no,
think.
No.
But he does it for completely different reasons, I'm sure. His is just a lack of education.
What's his name again?
I've already forgotten what the
Darren,
his name is.
Darren Carter. Aaron Carter.
Aaron Carter, no, it was...
Aaron Carter, he was the Backstreet Boy.
The Backstreet Boy.
That deflowered Lindsay Lohan and Hillary Duff.
Oh, did he?
Did he really?
What? I don't know. I just make that up. But he was like their first boyfriend, so I'm sure he poked it. I would have.
Well, yeah, but deflowered. I mean, deflowering. Lindsay
they were
Lohan,
young.
You got to go young, I
they
think.
Were young. Well,
yeah.
Yes. Maybe Hillary Duff, but Lindsay Lohan, I have a feeling, got deflowered before
What's
that.
What's going on with Amanda Bynes? You seem to...
Oh, my God.
You seem to be an expert about Amanda Bynes.
I am so upset about this Amanda Bynes thing, and what I'm upset about is the fact that they have put her in the loony bin again, and now she's not out on the streets giving me fun stuff to watch on TMZ, because I loved crazy
now,
Amanda
Bynes. Now,
what
happened? Did she go off her meds or something?
She went off
or?
Her meds, apparently, moved down to Orange County, was like, doing good, going to like some fashion school or something down there, was trying to like be normal, and then went off her meds and started going crazy, and then got... I guess was like got that DUI over in the valley somewhere and then ran off to New York and was doing all kind of crazy stuff, dancing around stores, stealing shit, acting a fool, talking all crazy. And then her parents swoop in and 5150 her ass. And then I just read today or yesterday or something that they like are going to hold her for like a year. Like she's on like some serious.
Whoa.
Like pretty much lockdown.
Oh,
we're
going
to force you to take this medicine shit.
She had a chance. What was Amanda Bynes? What was her big movie?
She did that, like...
What did she do at all?
What a Girl Wants or something. It was like, What I Like About You or something. No, the movies were... I don't know. She did those, like, teeny bopper
oh, really?
Sort of movies. And she did... She had that TV show with Jenny Garth off of 90210 that was my guilty pleasure show called What I Like About You. It was
okay.
So bad. And then that was... But she did all that Nickelodeon crap when she was a kid. Like, at 12, she had her own show on Nickelodeon.
Well, do you think that must fuck people up, being on that Nickelodeon when you're... Growing up, going through, puberty.
It's weird, though. I thought she was going to be one of the ones that came out okay on the flip side of it. She seemed all normal, and then just snap.
Then she lost it?
She lost it, like, what, a couple of years ago when it all started, just snapped.
Oh, do you think she'll make a comeback in the movies again? Do you think we'll see her in something?
I don't know.
She's got a... She's off her
she's
fucking
off
rocker,
rocker,
yeah.
Like, she's like... I think she's straight up for real nuts.
Straight up.
Not like just Lindsay Lohan, who is just a fuck up.
Yo, Amanda Bynes has to be. I think she's got schizophrenia, right?
Yeah, she's like schizophrenic.
She hears voices and
yeah.
She's paranoid.
Oh, okay.
Lindsay Lohan's just
Lindsay's just a fuck
fun.
Up. She's just a fuck up.
Yeah. Do you think Amanda Bynes is faking it, kind of like a stunt, like a Shia LaBeouf deal?
I don't think so. Because it's like you could, I don't know, you can sort of spot that sometimes when it might be fake. Like she straight up got crazy eyes in some of her pictures. And like, you know, like when you can see white all the way around the color,
sampaku.
That means crazy eyes.
There's a Japanese term, it's called sampaku. I remember somebody
is
told
that
me that
is?
One time.
Sampaku.
It means crazy eyes. It means like your eyes are so wide open that you can see
all the way around.
Yeah.
I can do that. So don't
like Michelle Bachmann eyes.
Oh, really?
Michelle Bachmann.
Michelle Bachmann gets those. Yeah.
I wonder if I could do. I can do that.
I can do it.
I'm doing it right now.
Is
that crazy eyes? Let me
see.
Oh shit, that's crazy.
That's why they call
it. Yeah, like that. Remember that runaway bride chick several years ago?
Like
from Georgia or something.
Oh, yeah.
Tried to fake her getting kidnapped to get out of getting married or whatever. And
right.
She had those eyes.
Yeah.
Every one of her mugshots, like she had straight up crazy eyes.
Shirtless dude with a backpack just ran by the fucking studio.
We have a neighbor that is...
him and his friend, they run naked with backpacks on.
Not naked. It's shirtless.
Yeah.
They run naked.
They run shirtless, but in all weather and it's a backpack. It's really odd.
Honestly, it is... I do notice when I see white people in the neighborhood. I mean, it does catch my eye because everybody's Korean or Mexican here. And
it's a diverse neighborhood.
Yeah. So it's weird when you see a couple of... shirtless dudes running down the street,
right.
Backpacks on. Who can jog with a fucking backpack on anyway?
Oh, they jog like that?
Yeah,
with a backpack.
It's bad for your back, is it not?
I don't know.
I would think it's bad for your tan.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
That's an odd tan to get.
Tank top tan
marks.
Is bad enough, but backpack tan is
horrible. Yeah. You can't tan anymore anyway. Barbarians tan. You get fucking skin cancer. You know what I mean? You cannot get in the sun anymore. The sun is not your friend. The ozone's disappearing. You need to go out and tan.
You could paint that shit on like John Boehner does.
The painted on stuff looks so horrible. They all end up looking like big pumpkin heads.
Yeah, like John Boehner.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, like John Boehner. Yeah, he's like the king pumpkin head.
He really is.
Is there really same-sex marriage in Alaska?
Same-sex marriage in Alaska has been legalized. Barrow, I told
you.
What? Oh, that's
Barrow,
Alaska.
Oh, I forgot.
It was
the first
marriage, I believe it was two lesbians.
Yes.
That, or maybe not, maybe they just like each other. They don't necessarily have to be down there where their beards are.
Right.
Garden gnome beards are. Maybe they're not into each other. Maybe they're just
going to go ahead and skip to the platonic part of their marriage when
right.
They're tired of each other.
They're done with the passion, and they're going to quiet breakfast.
How
staring
sad.
Across from each other.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Follow us on Twitter, everybody. Tweet us during the show if you like, @crabdiving. Ryan is monitoring that. He's got his finger on the pulse of the Twitter.
Bam.
Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, also facebook.com/crabdiving. And if you want to listen to past episodes of the show, because Lord knows, we don't know if you can listen to the live episodes. If you can listen to the past episodes of the
That's
show,
true.
Go to crabdiving.com for the details there. There's now a link up on crabdiving.com, hopefully.
Right. Good job.
It's not a player, because I couldn't get that fucking shit to work, but hopefully there's a...
There's a URL?
Hopefully there's a link. There's a button.
To where? The blog talk thing?
To the blog talk.
Okay.
So just as an emergency measure. So that's what's going on there. We're having issues, technical issues.
Is this related to Ebola?
It might be. Everything seems to be related to Ebola. And
everything. People are crazy scared of some Ebola.
Well, dude, I mean, what happens if it comes to L.A.? I'm not going to the gym anymore. I'm not going to Bally's or L.A. Fitness.
Didn't they have MRSA?
They had MRSA. I go to a gym where they once had MRSA.
There you go.
I'm stupid.
I didn't mean to time the breaking news after you said I'm stupid. It was just a bonus. The headlines, we go over to the Huffington Post. Commie Pinko Liberal. Rag that it be. In big red letters, everybody.
Yay.
We knew what today's headlines would be.
Diddy.
Paying attention, Ryan. I don't know if
you
know. We've been running around working on the show today. You know, Ryan, there's a second Ebola patient in Texas now.
What?
Another healthcare worker.
Oh, shit.
That treated that dude that flew in from Liberia.
Fuck it.
The one that died.
Another
healthcare worker has started sweating, feeling a
God.
Little feverish.
Oh, shit.
Tested positive for Ebola.
But wait, weren't they taking protective measures?
Well, they're not sure. Now the stories are coming out. At first they were like, well, of course we were taking protective measures, and everything was done by the book, and we don't know how this happened. We're going to investigate it. And now you're hearing some people saying that there wasn't shit going on. Nobody knows what's going on. Nobody knows what to do. Nobody knows what's going on.
That's the feeling I get, that people are just – they are stymied as hell. They are like, arr,
you mean
arr,
they weren't
arr.
Expecting an African hemorrhagic outbreak in Central Texas? Maybe.
You know, my dad used to be a hospital administrator, and they would have to do drills at the hospital. They would do drills, like if there was a chemical weapons attack, or if there was an outbreak of something horrible. And it was like basically everything breaks down to someplace, a tent in the parking lot with a shitload of bleach and hot water. That's what everything.
There you go.
Yeah. That's the best we have.
Yeah.
They're saying they think they might have been wearing the right stuff.
Maybe.
But then they infected themselves.
Taking it off.
When they took the shit
right?
off. Yeah. Like they didn't follow the right protocols removing the infected clothing that they had on.
Oh, God.
But so now there's a bonus, though, with this new case.
Yay!
The bonus is that the night before, I think
shit.
It's a she.
Yeah, the new
she.
One's she, I think.
The night before this person was feeling sick, she was on an airplane flying back from, like, Cincinnati or something.
No, fuck.
Frontier Airlines. Now they're telling 132 people from that flight they got a phone call. They're asking them to call a hotline and have a little chat.
Are they going to get scooped up and put into containment?
Well, like Doxy Nancy, what's her name? What are that chick from NBC?
She fucked up.
She
too.
Fucked
Did you
up.
Hear
went
that?
Get sued.
Yeah. They're saying now. At first, they were saying, "Well, no, she didn't start noticing her symptoms until she was off the plane." And now a report is saying that they think she had a 99.5 while she was flying.
And she's a nurse.
There you go. And
so a nurse made this really logical decision to knowingly have been in contact with somebody with the Ebola, the like worst thing to hit in anybody's recent memory, and then comes down with a fever and thinks it's okay to get on a plane and fly. Like, there should be, like, I feel sorry for you, lady. You got the Ebola. But at the same time, there needs to be some consequences for your dumbness.
Yeah, and I mean,
so
I mean, I'm not.
Better.
What are you gonna do? Take away your parking place?
Yes.
I'm not a.
Start there.
I'm not a Fox News watcher. I'm not running around screaming that, you know, it's a zombie apocalypse and Obama's trying to open FEMA camps and shit. But
I know it's scary.
I mean, take some precautions. You know, I mean, Ebola is very containable if people don't fuck up.
But listen.
But apparently. People are fucking up.
Well, this is happening in Texas. I don't know what to tell you. This is Rick Perry's land.
Don't mess with Texas.
Again, I can't believe me. No one wants to. No one ever wanted to. Is it like these outfits you have to wear if you're dealing with Ebola? Is it like, you know, like when you pick dog shit up? You know what I mean?
It's just a little.
And it.
I think there's a little more.
But
to
you
them.
Don't. I don't get dog shit on my hands when I pick it up, because when I pick it up, the bag turns wrong side out,
right.
Or inside out.
Yes.
Then I put the bag in the trash.
Correct.
I never touch a shit.
Right.
That's how you have to take off your Ebola outfit, right?
Yeah.
Why don't you do it like that?
Or you should have some room to go, like a fucking Silkwood room or something you go in.
What is
that?
And
while you're wearing that suit, it like sprays you down with the bleach, whatever stuff that kills it while you're still in the protective suit. So there's anything that could have been on you is dead and gone. You sit there and wait, watch TV for an hour while it kills.
Shit.
And then you take the suit off. Like,
what?
There's got to be, I mean, it might be excessive, but fuck, the flip side is worse.
What do they, how do they treat Ebola? What, do they give you a shitload of penicillin or something? Antibiotics?
Antivirals.
Okay.
But the main thing is they just have to keep fluids in you because you're bleeding out and you're shitting yourself out. It's massive diarrhea, and eventually massive bleeding.
Oh.
Out the eyes.
Eyes, asshole, ears, nose.
Oh.
Shit. You know, it would be funny. This is totally off subject, but wouldn't it be great if you could –
opt for a doctor that uses slang. So instead of if your doctor says, I'm going to check your prostate for cancer, the doctor instead says, hey, I'm going to slip this finger in your asshole. Are you cool with that? You know what I mean? Like he talks like a normal person would and doesn't use medical terms.
Right.
Do you think that would be popular? Would that be a good business to find, you know, doctors that are a little bit more hip? You know what I mean? They use slang.
Yeah. But in a layman's terms, I'm down with that. Because sometimes I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
My family doctor was kind of like that.
Oh, that's weird.
But he was my doctor since like my first shift.
Show me your shaft, Mr. Vile.
It was, he'd be like, one time he prescribed me a suppository.
Oh, God!
For headaches, because it was this new drug that came out.
Shit.
And he's like, try it, because, you know, when I get a headache, I can't keep stuff down. You throw it up.
Right.
So. Taking pills is not real effective. So he was like, he pulls out this little bullet and he's like, here, you know, this is new. It's Cafragot, it's called. And I was like, oh, you know, I think I'm okay. I think I'll deal with the headaches.
Yeah.
And he holds it up. He goes, take this and shove it up your ass.
Oh my God. That's hilarious.
Yeah. That's a good doctor. I like that doctor.
Yeah. He was great.
Just take this and shove it up your ass.
Yeah. Shut up.
You'll thank me in a little while when your head is hurting.
You're like,
and your ass is
He was a dick. He'd walk in sometimes. He'd take the he'd see me and he'd go, and he'd take off his stethoscope and he'd put it in his refrigerator. And then he'd start talking to me, knowing that the stethoscope was in the fridge.
Why?
So that when he put it on me, it was fucking cold, and I'd be like, So he was a fun dude.
That's crazy.
There you go.
Yeah.
So the headline over on the Huffington Post is about the Ebola patient flying a day before the symptoms started.
Yeah, all these right-wing nut jobs, when they start bleeding out their eyeballs, they're gonna start liking science.
So if you were on...
Yeah, the science will be there for you.
Right. Yeah, try to pray that shit away.
Yeah, what about Jeebus?
Frontier Airlines flight 1143 from Cleveland to Dallas-Fort Worth Monday night. Ladies and gentlemen, if you were on that flight, you win a possible new virus.
Where are they putting these people? These people have to be rounded up.
They're alerting. Listen to you. They're alerting them. Who's that one Republican that was like, "Well, once somebody tests positive,
hang them.
We should kill him.
Shoot him."
He said that once they test positive,
just
put them down. That's the only way to stop it.
Great.
Nip it in the bud.
Yeah. Hey, what would Jesus do?
A loving.
Oh wait, maybe not that.
Yeah, a He's loving, trying. Caring Republican. Cure him. Jesus would cure him.
Boring.
Yeah.
Didn't Jesus like hang out with those people? Like, did he go to the leper camps and stuff?
Exactly. He loved the leper camps. Were so much fun too. He had a good time there.
Jesus is not sitting in a paneled library having a snifter of brandy with Charles and David Koch.
Right.
When he comes back. That ain't happening.
He's hooking up with that hooker, handing out fish and loaves.
Right. Well, I don't know about hooking up.
You don't think he had sex with her?
I think Jesus got laid. I think he was probably quite
the
coxman.
Sure. He was a coxman.
He was. Jesus was a poonhound, man. It's horny being the savior.
A carpenter and a coxman.
That's right. It's Blasphemy Wednesday here.
Yeah.
On Crab Nation.
Day.
It's actually every day is Blasphemy Day here on Crab Nation Sacrilege Day.
Shit.
You know, we should probably take a break here. We're going to go listen to the benevolent sponsors.
Yeah.
Come back for more after the hump. I'm trying to see if do I have any clips here today? Oh, I've got a show. Oh, let's play this right now. Since we were talking about the Ebola. Or we'll tease it. Matt Hagee.
Oh, God.
Who is John Hagee's son.
Right.
And you know, the turds don't fall far from the sphincters.
Yummy.
So he is in the family business.
Right.
Of fleecing the sheep. John Hagee runs a mega church in Texas.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
And his son, Matt, is also a preacher.
I bet it's a nice church. Do you think they have an espresso bar and a private gym and a library and a fucking inside indoor track?
Have you been to the Crystal Cathedral here in Los Angeles, California?
What's that like?
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Right.
It's huge. It's really pretty.
What do you do there?
Well, you talk to Jesus.
Okay.
They have phone booths.
How much
there
is that?
You can drop a quarter in.
Oh, really?
They take credit cards. You think they have a bank of...
No, they have a Bitcoin
Jesus
wallet.
Jesus impersonators on there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, hey, this is your saver. Welcome to Jesus Central.
I would do that. I would grow my
Welcome to the Jesus Hotline. This is
I'm
your
too
Lord
old.
Savior. How can I help you?
Right.
We'll be back in a couple of minutes, everybody. Don't go away. Take a hit. Take a shit. More Crab Nation after the hump. And when I press this fucking button right here.
Itching to talk to the crabs? Call 855-862-7234.
Live from the In the Room studios located in the Net Carrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Hey everyone, it is your favorite knockout, Mickey James, and you're listening to the VOC Nation.
Hey there, hi there, ho there. Thanks for coming on down. It's Save Wrestling, the podcast, and the business making town. I am your award-winning hostess with the mostest, Shelly Funtime Martinez, and she is my co-host, Dazzling Danielle.
Woo! Hello out there.
And together we are the Martinez Girls. You finally did it. And you can join us here Monday, new time, 6 p.m. Eastern on the VOC Nation as we save wrestling together, Danielle. Fighting crime. Woo!
Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room, thebradyhicks.com, and for the first time ever, vocnation.com. So happy to be part of the family. Join us each and every Tuesday night, 9, 8 Central, vocnation.com, thebradyhicks.com, myself, DJ, Derek McDonald, Ray Bogus, Anthony Sarlo, Kathy Fitz, breaking down all that's going on in wrestling today. And so much more.
Hey, it's me, the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. Netcarrier has many great products and services to increase your bottom line. Be sure to ask your Netcarrier representative about our hosted PBX. Call Netcarrier today for a free analysis of your phone bills. 877-255-7733. That's right, 877-255-7733. Call now.
The second building that was hit by the plane has just completely collapsed. The entire building has just collapsed as if a demolition team set off. When you see the old demolitions of these old buildings, it pulled it down on itself and it is not...
We are live with Carmine Confidential.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Like everyone else, you were born into bondage. Born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind.
Listen to Carmine Confidential. Weekdays at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. VOC Nation Radio Network.
The most polarizing personalities worldwide. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Looking for a DJ? Looking for someone to host your event? Then look no further. Philadelphia's hottest DJ and host, The Voice of Choice. The Voice of Choice has hosted the hottest events in the tri-state area. Book The Voice of Choice for all your karaoke, conventions, and parties. Go to www.vocnation.com for more information or email the Voice of Choice at voc@vocnation.com.
Are you getting lost in the cloud? Is technology moving too fast for you? Find your way at netcarrier.com. Ride the N-Cloud and soar above your competition.
This is Buggy Nova, your Candyland princess, and I want everyone to know that I love VOCNation.com.
Hey, how's it going? This is Amy Dumas, but you may know me as Lita. You're listening to the VOC Nation.
Slowly rolling my panties down for Crab Nation. Your host, Patrick Vile and Ryan Pfeiffer.
And we're back streaming at ya, hot and steamy here on the Crab Nation show. Thanks for joining us here. Go to crabdiving.com
To listen to us, although if you're listening to us, you're already listening to us, so why the fuck would you go to crabdiving.com to listen to us? But don't forget to follow us on the Facebook, facebook.com/crabdiving, and on the Twitter.
Wherever you're listening, however you figured out how to hear the show, we appreciate your effort.
Yeah,
it was a bit of a pain
it.
In the ass today.
Yeah,
thank you.
Great. So John Hagee has a son who... I guess he has his own ministry, maybe, or maybe he...
Oh, shit. Why would you get out of that business?
Maybe they tag team...
Oh, yes.
...at the big ministry in Texas.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know how it works. I've never been
You've never been to a
I've
mega
church?
I've
never been a minister. I've never been to a mega church while it was going.
I briefly thought about that when I was in high school. I remember I was sitting in church one day, and I looked across the street. Our minister, you know, comes with a house with a parsonage or a rectory. I don't know what the fuck you call it. A whole house. I was like, God damn. Whole house. You do an hour of stand-up a week. You know.
Stand-up.
Yeah.
You got to listen to a lot of old people complain about a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But you can delegate that shit out if your church is big enough. You can get, like, associate pastors.
And deacons to throw
and
at
deacons,
them. Right?
And the deacons in. And
the deacons love that shit. Deacons don't have to take the magic training, right? They just...
I don't know.
How do you become...
I mean,
so
a
deacons is a Baptist thing, isn't it?
Oh, we have deacons, too.
Oh, you have deacons
the Catholics,
and Catholics?
Yeah, Catholics have deacons, too. They're the they get to hand out cookies.
Yeah, deacons were like... I don't know. They passed out the offering plates on Sunday, and they
like sometimes if somebody
greeted you at the door.
When my dad was in the hospital, occasionally they would send the deacon to give him communion instead of the priest showing up. Or
yeah.
Whatever.
No. Okay.
My dad was a deacon at one point, but I don't really remember.
Right.
I didn't pay attention. I didn't pay attention to a lot of church. It was more of a social activity for me.
That's
my friends
right.
were there, so I could tolerate
what
it.
What was the place to go after church? I think we talked about this.
Hathaway's
before.
Fried Chicken. That shit was classic.
Hathaway's Fried Chicken.
Yeah,
oh,
it was
man.
So good. You had to get there quicker. The line would get long. Everybody wanted chicken from there.
Oh, yeah. We always used to go to the holodeck. And, it's with our ship.
No.
I was just thinking, God.
I thought there was a...
No. I'm sorry. I'm
a restaurant named the holodeck in Georgia?
I'm a little off today. I stayed up late last night doing stand-up at this fucking bar, and the set was so bad I had to drink through the whole thing. It was just it was rough. Anyway, I was wondering if they had church on the Starship of the Next Generation, the Enterprise.
They had a chapel.
Did they really?
Yeah. They weren't big on religion. But
why wouldn't
they
just
had a chapel?
You know what? I was just thinking about the Next Generation. They had the holodeck, correct?
Yes.
Which could be anything.
Yes.
So why would you make anything on the ship? Why wouldn't you just say
because it ain't real.
But so what? You know what I mean? Like,
why would you leave the holodeck yourself?
Right, and why?
That was a couple of episodes.
Oh, really? Was it?
Yeah.
But why would you make a church if you could just say, clickety click click, boom, a church on the holodeck?
Oh, well, they did on Next Generation. They like that was their training area. Oh,
okay.
They did all kinds of shit like that. They did.
Right.
They did all their simulators in there. They did all their training.
Did Worf
would go down there and battle giant monsters and beat up other
oh, so it's
Klingons
like a danger room on the X-Men.
Right. And that was one of the things is you could override the protocols, the safety protocols.
Right.
And make it so that you're actually like getting hurt and getting cut. You could make it so that nothing hurts you, or you could make it so that you turn off the safety protocols and the holodeck will fuck your shit up.
Oh, wow. I would always have those safety protocols on.
Well, yeah. I think that's
me. I'm sure it was not the person who was participating in the holodeck activities who turned those safeties off.
No, there was a murder mystery one time on Star Trek.
A whodunit?
Somebody killed somebody by reprogramming the holodeck to...
Did they beam in Peter Falk?
I don't know. Yeah, they did.
And Angela Lansbury.
Murder, She Wrote.
They actually did do, but Data dressed up as Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, really?
God. I'm not kidding you. That was the whole scenario. It took place in, you know, like Elizabethan England, and Data was, they put Data in a Sherlock Holmes costume.
That's hysterical. I never watched the Star Trek stuff much.
Yeah.
Just as equally... science fiction. John Hagee.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. What did this
say? American founder, senior pastor of the Cornerstone Church in San Antonio, Texas.
God, that sounds so fucking official.
A non-denominational megachurch.
Yay.
With more than, holy shit, 20,000
active members.
Pay me, baby!
Hagee is also the chief executive officer of his nonprofit corporation, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Everything's above board.
They're getting
board.
10% of whatever 20,000 people make. Sort of, right?
Theoretically. GETV, Global Evangelism Television.
Lots of nonprofit organizations have television networks, by the way.
He's also president and CEO of John Hagee Ministries, which telecasts his national radio and television ministry, carried on 10 television networks, including 62 high-power stations, airing to more than 150 million households.
How is he not making any money? He's nonprofit.
He's doing okay.
He's nonprofit.
All right.
Shit.
They put the profits back into the church.
Does he shop with coupons? I'm worried about him. Does he have enough to eat?
We played a clip of John Hagee not that long ago. He was the one that when we had the blood moons.
He's on food stamps.
He said that this is the with the blood moons. He said this is the end times.
Of course,
because of the blood moons.
Yeah. Didn't end. Oh wait, Ebola. But Ebola's here. It could be the end times.
That's because
ushered it in. Look,
he said. A couple days ago, I read that Ebola is because God's pissed because Obama is trying to divide Israel. He's a big Israel supporter.
Oh, really?
Israel can do no wrong to John Hagee. Well, his son, Matt, is continuing the family tradition.
Yes.
And also has a ministry and has a TV show. His son, Matthew, is the executive pastor of Cornerstone Church.
Official.
I don't know what that means.
Executive pastor.
Executive pastor.
Yeah. Oh, shit. That means you have little epaulettes on your uniform. Do they all have little uniforms like they're in the Army or the Navy or something?
Don't they wear robes and things?
Oh, yes.
He probably has an extra special sash.
He wears
thing.
A suit. He's a suit guy.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
What about a pimp cane? Does he have a pimp cane?
No pimp cane.
No pimp hand?
He believes in absolute authority of the scripture.
Me too.
And baptism by immersion.
Fuck yeah.
Under that water, you evil motherfucker.
You know what they have in their immersion bathtub? They got jacuzzi jets.
He does not believe in global warming.
Me neither. Fuck it.
Speaks out against homosexuality. Blah, blah, blah. You know.
Come on.
One of these. So his son, Matt, we know now about Ebola.
What?
And here is what Matt Hagee has to say. You can tune in to, I don't know, the Matt Hagee Hour, whatever the fuck you
Hold
call
on,
it.
Hold on. Let
show.
me. No. You put on your tin. You put on your tinfoil hat. And you look for chemtrails.
You're right.
Then you hear Matt Hagee.
Here's Matt Hagee. Speaking for the Lord.
Ebola fits with what Jesus Christ said in Matthew 24 and 7. In Matthew 24 and verse 7, he said these things were going to transpire in the world before he returned. Nation would rise against nation, kingdom would rise against kingdom, and that there would be famine and pestilence. Pestilence is an illness for which there seems to be no cure. That would certainly describe Ebola.
Wouldn't nations rising against nations and kingdoms rising against kingdoms and bullshit and pestilence kind of describe the last 2,000 years of human history?
Yeah.
Pretty much what I was thinking.
Sure, man.
It seems like,
this ain't a special event. In fact, this is one of the least warful times, despite what's going on, but this is one of the least violent times.
Really?
The least
oh,
times,
shit, man.
As far as global
that's insane, because I was in the express lane at Vaughn's buying some Tecate and sandwiches for today's festivities, and
thank you for that.
Right. Now, listen, I wanted to brain, and I wouldn't have done it, but I did think about it. I'm like, God, this person in front of me was taking so long to figure out how to work the little box, the little fucking thing. You just type your fucking code in.
Oh, you mean where
I marvel at that all the time, too.
God, all you got to do is just fucking follow the directions and listen to the cashier and take your fucking earbuds out of your fucking ear.
It's ATMs in this neighborhood.
Oh,
you would swear somebody's taking out a second mortgage on their house.
Yes.
Standing at the ATM for as long as it fucking takes some of these people.
I love these people that will keep going back and go, like, obviously they've been denied. And they're like,
I'll try 60.
Yeah, so they just keep going through until they finally find, I was behind this chick the other day. Honestly, I've never seen somebody so horribly perplexed by a machine. And it's been a long time since I saw somebody that just completely just perplexed. Like,
well, and don't use it. Then go inside and talk to a person at the bank or whatever if you have to do that shit. Yeah. I mean, don't make other people wait 20 minutes because you're so fucking stupid.
I'm glad it's a peaceful time and it's not violent. It just seems violent, that's all. But I guess, you know.
And there's also that waiting until you get up to the ATM and start pressing buttons, and then you start looking in your wallet and or purse for your card.
Shit.
Yeah,
I love that
ready.
One too. Yeah,
it's like back in the day when you actually had to write a check at like the grocery store. Like the people who were considerate and nice and had manners had pretty much that check written before it was done. They had to fill in the amount done. Today's equivalent is get your card out and be ready. Actually, they don't even have to finish ringing your shit up before you can go through that part.
Yeah.
All you have to do is approve it at the end, and it's done. Done and done, and you're out of my fucking way.
Yeah, it
Move
happens
along,
at the grocery
people.
Store, too.
It ain't all about you.
You don't pull out your wallet or you don't start digging in your purse until they say it's $17.43. Oh.
The fucking kid at Radio Shack today was slow to help me, too. He was just sitting there. I told him I need this connector and that connector, and he looked at me. And I showed him a picture of it, and I was like, this is what I need, and he sauntered over to where it was. And he handed it to me, and he sauntered over to the cash register. He poked around in the cash register. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. I got to ring you up on this other cash register. He sauntered around. This is Radio Shack. And this is why Radio Shack is going out of business, because it sucks.
It sucks.
I hate Radio Shack. It's bad.
I hate dealing with any people like that. It's just, what? Know your damn job. I don't care what menial you might consider it to be, but that's currently your job. So at least do it in such a way that it doesn't inconvenience the people there who are paying money to keep you in a job that you may hate, but at least you're eating and got a roof over your fucking head.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, buck up and like,
suck
quit
it out.
Being a lazy ass. People just
walk it
me.
Off. This world is a tough place to live. What did that guy say?
There's Ebola.
There's pestilence.
Pestilence.
What did he read in Matthew?
Apocalypse is upon us.
Pestilence.
What was it, Matthew McConaughey for what?
Matt Hagee.
Oh, No. The Bible verse. I'm reading from the book of Matthew McConaughey. Verse whatever. I think, by the way.
We know in the world that surrounds us, there are terrorists and there are home invaders, drug cartels, carjackers, knockout gamers, and rapers, and haters, and campus killers, airport killers, shopping mall killers, and killers who scheme to destroy our country with massive storms of violence against our power grids or vicious waves of chemicals or disease that could collapse our society that sustains us all.
A little bit of Wayne LaPierre slinging his special kind of love. That clip never – it makes me laugh. You laugh. Brent just
laughs. I laugh. It's it's so absurd.
But the people that were listening to that were eating that
shit up. Coming from the dude with the gayest name in the history
Wayne
of names.
Wayne
LaPierre.
You think Wayne LaPierre is doing some foot tapping in some airport bathrooms?
I think it could – I'm not going to say for 100% sure, but I feel like there's a little tap in that toe.
A little gaydar going off.
Right. You cannot have a name like Wayne LaPierre and not be some sort of drag performer and think that that's going to make – there's tendencies been there. There's got to be.
All right. You bring up something interesting at Vinyl Experience. You mentioned gaydar, but now that I think it's gaydar matters not anymore because of Grindr. Right? Has Grindr replaced gaydar?
It just helps in the matter, I guess, because I don't know. But I'm just, whatever. I have taken a break from all of that shit, too.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah.
Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. Brent deleting apps left and right off of his iPhone.
Yeah. I done got stalked twice and had a crazy person on the other end, so I decided it might be time to take a break. Because I was talking about before how you can lower your standards. Yeah. Showing up at places where I was like,
Oh, you told me. You said that last time.
One of those people who misrepresented themselves with a picture, you know, showed up for the, like, to have a drink or whatever. I would have knocked boots with the picture, but not when I showed up for the drink. But then made the mistake of saying to places I go, I think, occasionally, like, for open mics and things like that. And
was it a picture of him from years and years ago? Or was
and,
it
and from a really good, well-lit angle, you know what I mean?
Glamour
like,
shot.
Yeah, it was just like, happened to catch that ugly motherfucker in a good, like, just the perfect angle to make it seem like, oh, there's something there. Nah.
Sepia filter
yeah.
and canted.
And then I had this other, like, honestly, and then the other one, like, I'm telling you, like, when you're in the middle of knocking boots and the dude asks you to start referring to him as the N-word and you have an accent like this, that makes things a little bit uncomfortable. And so I ended
especially
that. And then
if you
that
were...
one keeps popping up back now with all this. Why, like, I keep
especially
asking, why you break up with me? Why? What? I didn't break up with you. I just quit fucking
was he
you.
White?
Mark different.
Was he white?
No, he was black.
That would have been even weirder.
It would have been even weirder. But I was like, I can't do that. Yeah, so I'm taking a break. I got to do it the old-fashioned way now. Get drunk at a bar.
Shit.
Was it actually meet face-to-face?
Yeah.
Was the guy famous?
No, not this one.
Ah, shit.
That'd be better story, too.
Not this one. Have you bumped into famous people on Grindr? Or on any of the apps?
Kind of, a couple. Like, but not people you would really know. Like,
right,
people
right.
I've recognized from... like television and stuff. Usually not like
politics
main people. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
For politics. No, I don't. Actually, well, most of my friends who are involved in politics are like out homos about it.
Oh yeah.
Because I got friends who do that. Like my friend Jeff worked on Obama's campaign and
oh,
shit
cool.
like that. So they're like all out about it.
Of course, typical.
Oh right. Yes.
Obama. I've got a. We talked about Matt Hagee, John Hagee. I've got another preacher.
Yay.
Here. You talked about the stand-up. Doing your an hour of stand-up a week.
It's not even an hour, because the whole service is an hour.
Right.
You only got to do it like
five.
20
yeah,
minutes
yeah,
max.
Yeah, absolutely.
20, 15
five.
With some
right.
crowd work.
A sermon's only like 5 minutes,
well,
though,
you
isn't
Catholic,
it?
Our
Catholic.
Church, it was like a good
oh,
15
really?
To 20 every
yeah,
day.
Yeah,
well,
yeah. We got to get Mass in under an hour.
Well,
we got to do 55 minutes or people get pissed off.
The Catholics have a homily. Is that correct?
That's... Yeah,
that would be
that's
the stand-up
what the sermon
section.
Is called.
Yeah, yeah, the sermon's called the homily.
Oh yeah, we had a sermon.
But they crank through that shit.
In the Methodist Church, we got all kinds of bullshit that goes along with it. So,
like
by the time you get to the homily or the
virgin
the
sacrifice.
Oh yes.
What do they
no,
do?
No, we do all this like pass the plate kind of thing.
Oh,
all
that shit.
Everybody
like,
does that
at the end. You had the sermon. And then there'd be, like, maybe one quick song and then a prayer, and then you were off to Hathaway's.
Right. Yeah, and then I would always – we would get a church bulletin, and I went through this phase where I was drawing. I was my mom's an artist. She was trying to teach me how to sketch faces. And I remember one church, I'm looking at my dad, and I'm sketching his face on the church program. With the little pencils that you're supposed to use to fill in the offertory envelope.
Oh, yeah.
Give your name and how much you gave and all that
shit. Those little golf pencils.
Oh, yeah. I was sketching
that.
In my,
draw this face here.
Yeah. And my dad looked over at me and he was like, stop drawing me. He was just sitting there at church trying to listen. I'm like, let me draw your fucking face. It's got to be irritating.
At least your dad was awake. My dad was always falling asleep.
Oh, mine too.
Always.
My mom used to poke him. He got to the point where he was like, fuck it, I ain't going.
Right.
My
money's going, right?
Huh? No,
his money's going.
Once I graduated from eighth grade and no longer had to, that was, you know, they divided up part of your tuition in the Catholic school I went to. And if you didn't want to pay the whole lump sum, you could pay installments, but they called it mandatory offertory, which means you got to pay your $5 a week or $10 a week, whatever the fuck it was. Or
go to church.
You get kicked out. I mean, of school. That's part of your tuition. It's a payment plan.
Oh, so
but
you had to
throw it in the envelope
God.
To Jesus. Yeah, and I remember the older I got, you know, sixth, seventh grade and stuff. It then became just me going
with the envelope.
So you could keep going to school.
And then it became just me going. Walking into the lobby of the church, wow. Seeing the box that was in the lobby,
realizing it goes to the same place.
Not very pious.
I'd drop it in, and I'd go to Red's, which was our hot dog.
What does that say?
Hot dog and milkshake place.
What does that say for your piety level?
My piety level. I had no piety level.
That's kind of how I did my court order AA meetings I had to go to. I just showed up, put my money in a box, and left.
Oh, man. You don't have to put money in the box of the AA meeting.
No, but you had to get your card signed. I just was smart enough to figure out which ones to go to where they didn't pay any attention, show up at card signing time, get my card signed, and then go on my way.
I'm sure you weren't the only one.
No. I learned it from somebody else who told me, like, this is a good one, and this is a good one. That's a racket. And then I realized you could just do it yourself because these people, it's not like somebody who is, it's like they're a notary public or something and had
just
to, like.
Some dude at a meeting.
It's just some dude that, like, this week.
It's the guy who got the barrel.
JJ over there is going to do the card signing. So I was like, I'd go to my friend so I could honestly say I didn't do it. I would be like, hey, girl, will you just sign this for me? And they're like, what? I'm like, just fill it in. Just a date, a thing. Whatever, and sign it for me. And then that way, if anybody asked me, like, did you sign it, I could legitimately say no, and I would not be lying because I had someone do it for me. They didn't ask me that. They said, did you sign it?
Right.
Technically, the answer to that is no.
No.
You
how many meetings do they require people to go to?
Well, the first time, it wasn't so many. The second time, they tacked on quite a few. It was like 30 or something like that.
Oh, shit.
And you could only do, like max like 2 a week or something like that, so you couldn't just go do 30 days in a row and get it over with.
Oh my God.
You had to drag it out.
I have a friend of mine in the process of going to a bunch of those for his DUI. He was talking to me about it last night. It is just horrible.
It's horrible.
Fun.
And it's worse now what he's probably having to go through than me, because mine was like 10 years ago.
Oh yeah. God. I've got pastored the story of got here is out of Alabama.
Oh, really?
Oh,
I've been to Alabama recently.
Oh, that's right.
Beautiful. This is Pastor Juan Demetrius McFarland.
Holy shit.
What a great name, huh? Juan Demetrius McFarland.
Juan Pastor McFarland of the Montgomery, Alabama.
Oh, Montgomery. Beautiful.
Baptist Church. Started in a series of month-long sermons.
Okay.
I mean, through a month.
Yes.
In installments, apparently.
Right.
He confessed to a series of things to the congregation.
Oh, awesome. That's when you want to go to church.
Each admission somehow worse than the last.
So he teased it. He was like, this is what I did this week. It was horrible. But if you want to hear what I really did with this bad, you better come next week.
Yes.
Yeah, that's smart. That's marketing.
It all started when he told a group of church members that he had AIDS.
Okay.
Something he'd struggled with largely in secret since 2008. The church was overwhelmingly supportive, the people that found out rallied around him, but he took that apparently as a license to then confess everything.
Okay.
Idiot.
They don't care that I have AIDS. Therefore, he started revealing more and more on following Sundays.
Dwarf tossing.
That one weekend.
Right.
And that one time in Tijuana.
Yeah.
Let's see. According to WBTV,
right,
out of Montgomery, Alabama.
We'll bet.
WBTV on your side.
Oh, really?
By the way.
Because why wouldn't they be?
Yeah. They love you.
He finally confessed to the pulpits a few Sundays ago. He had full-blown AIDS.
Okay.
Then he said he had slept with many church members.
Okay.
Without revealing he had AIDS.
Oh.
And I'm sure he didn't.
So,
he
dear
didn't
congregants, those of you who have received my Holy Scepter of Juan Demetrius McFarland may have received an extra little added bonus from the Lord.
Oh, my God. That's fucking evil.
That's criminal.
But did he know? Did he know he had AIDS?
He just admitted. He said he'd been living in secrecy, so that means he knew.
He then admitted that he had been mishandling church funds.
Okay. Wow.
He then admitted that he was into drugs.
Okay.
concealed from the church that he had knowingly engaged in adultery in the church building with several female members.
Okay. Wow.
In the church?
In the church.
Well, yeah, dude, I'm starting to like him.
Of the Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church.
Missionary position.
Oh.
The one woman says, I know a young lady who's a member of the church who says she slept with him and doesn't want it to go public.
Well, too late.
And now she's running out trying to get tested to see if there's anything wrong with her.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So this dude is like that dude.
This guy's evil.
One, he's evil. And then.
Is there more?
Well, besides the drugs and the sex and the stealing, no. I think
okay,
that's about
it.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that was it.
He mishandled church funds on top of all that shit.
But they probably are forgiving him for all of that because they're like, at least he ain't a homo.
All right.
That's what I kept waiting on. I was like, oh, and how many boys did he fuck? And that never, he always did the ladies. So I'm sure that's why they're all like, fine. They're like, oh, okay. Them's normal straight people sins. That's okay.
Right.
But if you told us you was a homo, you'd have to hit the
curb. Wait. You stole my money and you gave me AIDS. You're not gay, right?
Yeah, but you're not gay, right?
Oh, good.
Some members want justice. One church member said, I believe that he should be put on trial. Go to court, let the judge decide if he should go to jail or not. We tend to sweep things under the rug, especially if they're the leader.
Well, there is actually, that redneck I do kind of like think has a little bit of a point. And
I agree.
You get to the AIDS part.
Right.
If he's knowingly having unprotected sex with a whole bunch of ladies.
Wow.
When he's got the full-blown AIDS. I think there's some culpability there, and that is like somewhat criminal to,
right.
In my mind.
What? Are you saying he's not doing a good job of shepherding his flock?
Yes, no. That's exactly what I'm saying.
He, I gave all the sheep AIDS.
Define shepherding, yeah.
Yeah, define shepherding.
You know what? That's the bare minimum, to do no harm. He's supposed to help.
Don't give AIDS.
Well, he's supposed to.
Even about that. You can bruise.
Like, I would have more like sympathy if he always wore a condom. I'd be like, well, at least he wore a condom. And, like, there was some sort of attempt to not. But I guarantee you, from the way this story lays out and the way he's just. He did not wrap that thing up. He did.
Yes.
He sure as hell didn't use that ball wrapper.
The no Scroguard, apparently. Or he could use the Scroguard without the condom, though.
Right.
You could just keep your ball safe without slipping the condom.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to order a Scroguard, please go to crabdiving.com
really
through our Amazon portal.
Do the Scroguards really exist?
We get a few shekels in our account.
I thought that was kind of bullshit.
I have no idea.
I did see a picture of a thing. I don't know if it was for real or not on the interwebs about where it was like.
It was on our Facebook, yeah.
It's
for
like
real.
It's like a thing. Yeah, it's like. A sheet.
It's a rubber granny panty.
Yeah.
With a hole in it to stick
with
your cock
in it
through.
Stick your pack of
right.
You then put your rubber on
and
there.
A little sack for your balls, allegedly. Too.
Why don't they just make it one solid unit? You know what I
why
mean?
Do
instead
you have
of having to,
cover
to apply
your...
the condom to it, too. Like,
why
just...
do you have to cover your balls? I don't know.
People are afraid of the juices, I
look,
guess.
There it is, right there. The Scroguard, Ryan's
that
pointing
is...
it out.
If somebody came at me with that pair of rubber panties with that flappy pussy looking thing in the front
right.
of it,
no,
your condom comes out.
I know,
of it.
But I guess your pecker would be
but
coming
Brent,
through.
They
there.
Suggest that if you don't want things to be awkward later, you could wear it during your date.
Oh yeah.
So can you imagine what that smells like under there? You're
and
wearing
well, and if
latex.
Imagine you like try to be slick and stick your hand down their pants, and then you're like, oh.
What the
fuck? Like, wait a minute. So my date is wearing a like, what kind of like
rubber diaper.
Like depends type like what problem do we got going on down there?
You know what?
I'm not saying like, why does it need containment?
I find the latex in there, and I kind of disagree with you. I don't start thinking that. I'm like, okay, time to go. Just time to go.
Well,
there's some sort of
yeah,
protective.
That's salt too. After I ponder why.
Get me the fuck out of here. I don't know. You get a latex diaper on. I mean, I don't know. That's a tough one.
If it feels all smooth, maybe it's like she's got that
what?
Barbie doll disease.
Oh, right.
I don't know.
That Barbie doll disease. I forget what. Yeah.
Yeah, they got nothing going on down there.
Well,
yeah.
They do. It looks, according to Kelly, it looked like a real one. It's just you couldn't.
On the inside, right.
It's like once you got past the.
Yeah.
Breached the flaps, there was like.
It's like you open the window to crawl out, but there's a screen door there.
Yeah.
There's a screen there. Or, you know, when there's like a horror movie or something, you go to get out the window and you pull the curtains and it's bricked up.
Yeah, right. That's pretty much what it is. That yeah. is what I, that's pretty much a very good analogy for what.
According to the Montgomery, Alabama Police Department,
hey,
transmitting
boy.
A sexually transmitted disease intentionally is a Class C misdemeanor.
Yay. Just a misdemeanor to give somebody AIDS? Doesn't seem.
I think sexually transmitted
people have been charged
disease.
With like attempted murder and shit with
yeah.
that before, though, ain't they?
I think
I
it should
know.
Depend on the disease.
I yeah, think, yeah, I'm pretty sure I've read stories where like somebody gave like was doing that and then like ended up getting like accused of attempted murder, like in some divorce or some shit. Like the like he gave the wife AIDS because he was cheating on her and like kept on having unprotected sex after he knew it. When she divorced him, she also like charged him with attempted murder and won.
Well, Pat Robertson talked about the homosexuals, the evil ones that were running around San Francisco
right. sure.
with those magic rings. Remember?
Oh yeah.
With the little they're filled with the stuff.
With the stuff.
And they have little pins on them, and you go to shake hands
right.
with them. You go to shake hands with them. And
what's that? What's
fix
that?
Fix your hand. You got the stuff.
What's that show that's on HBO with the castles and the
Game of Thrones?
Yeah, that's some Game of Thrones kind
that's
of shit.
That's some Game
right?
of Thrones
oh, yeah.
shit right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
With the secret ring, you go over.
Hey, hey, there's nothing. I mean, I don't really think the Bible says the problem of marrying first cousin.
Right. Can you give your first cousins AIDS? Is that against the Bible too, or against the law?
I don't know. I don't know. There are things that
this is not a good week. Couple of weeks for preachers, real or fictional. You know.
Well, the Pope.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, now they're trying to backpedal on that because everybody got their panties in a wad.
Oh, I didn't see that, really.
They're all like, well.
We don't want to be that nice to the gay people.
But yeah, it's like they're trying to, like, backpedal it to where they didn't really say, come on, everything's going to be okay. Like, because all them ones that are just so against it got their panties in a wad and...
You know,
it's just so ridiculous.
And it's crazy because it wasn't – we talked about it yesterday on the show, and it wasn't that great what he said.
It wasn't that great.
He says, we are accepting or tolerant of your irregular lifestyle.
Yeah.
Irregular?
Like, yeah. We still think you're an abomination and wrong and all kind of just not right.
How does he know if you have enough fiber in
hey,
your diet?
Listen, but I empathize with you. Burn in hell.
Yeah, but come on. We'll take your money. That's how I read it.
Oh, yeah. That's
you know
true.
I mean? It's like, we're hard up because people are fleeing us like crazy because we don't make much sense when we talk. So how about we let the homos in because if y'all haven't noticed, they have disposable income.
Well, and the Catholic Church is spreading like gonorrhea in South America and in Africa. It's not like they're losing humans overall. But
oh, I thought they were losing
here
numbers.
Here. But in third world countries – they're
business booming.
They're reaping, yeah. But it's third world countries, so you know the coffers ain't getting filled.
Yeah,
like they
and
used
like,
to.
Yeah, like Central America, they're rolling in the dough.
Yeah,
but that's a long term investment. You don't look at that. You just keep it going and you ignore it and let it grow slowly.
Right.
It'll pay out. It'll fucking
so?
Pay
Once
out.
Once they have Jesus, they'll get
oh,
rich.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Oh yeah.
Like we gave him, like we gave the savages Jesus here, like Christopher Columbus.
Oh, yeah.
Chopping off some noses and arms and legs and shit.
Yeah.
And raping women.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
moving
yeah.
into
the
places where it's like, where they just constantly have babies, too. Where it's just baby after baby. There's no... I'm a firm believer and people should have two. That's it.
That's still a lot, though.
Two kids?
Yeah.
And then tie that shit up?
Tie that shit up.
Plenty. He's going to be in charge of the tying. You?
I'm not tying.
Do you
want to
be the
shit.
Minister of...
Minister of tying.
Tie
it up, boys.
Tie up. Time to tie the tubes.
No, too many fucking people.
I know.
Let's see what else is going on. Did you see the that second shooting of a teenager in Ferguson area in St. Louis?
Where this time it probably was justified.
Yeah, they're saying that this one... the police from the top were saying that he shot at the cop.
Oh.
But then there were a couple witnesses who were like, no, he was just carrying a sandwich and things like that. Well, now they're saying that the forensics has found
gun residue.
Okay.
Gunshot residue.
All over him.
Yeah, that, and a bunch of other witnesses that have said that he did actually take two or three shots at this cop as he was running away and stuff.
Oh, shit.
So,
and every bullet that hit him except for one was in the, like, legs. So, like, the cop really wasn't aiming
to try
to kill him.
Yeah.
It was just, if somebody's shooting at me, I'm going to shoot back if I'm a cop.
Right.
That's just how it goes. I mean, it sucks, and I really shouldn't be that way, but that's just how it is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, that last one they got totally wrong, and this one they got right.
Well, no, the bullshit of it is nobody bothers to fucking do their research real quick before they go spouting off again trying to create hysteria. Like, the media today, like, I think most of them need to be drowned in a damn toilet. Because it's like they start this hysteria, and then they're like, oh, sorry about that. My bad, and then move on to something else. It's
some other story.
And they don't do a story really on their fuck up that much. They bury that way in the back. So it's like you create this mass hysteria, and then you don't do anything to fix what you did to cause all of that. Like, if it's justified, fine. But then if it's not, you need to be like man or woman, whatever you may be, enough to fucking come out and say, "Oops, might have spoke too fast on that one, y'all.
Right.
Sorry."
Mm-hmm. As soon as this Ferguson story dies down, do you think the media will report on Ferguson as much?
No. They were done talking about Ferguson until this other thing happened, and then got everything flared up again.
Right.
Well, wait till the grand jury decides not to.
Oh, yeah. I'm waiting
not
on
to
that.
Indict that cop, and I'm worried about this neighborhood.
Right.
I'm worried about
other
mine,
neighborhoods.
Too,
yeah.
I'm in Hollywood.
Oh, shit. But you're well fortified in the Florida room.
I am. I did like that a little bit. At least we do have there is a gate around, but
he's
so easy to get across.
You're vulnerable to crickets.
I'm a fucking cricket. I hate that cricket.
Do you think your building is well protected for a zombie type apocalypse?
No.
No.
You can jump right over.
I think about that sometimes. I don't believe in zombies, but I often think, like, what would happen if the shit hit the fan here and people had to board up and we had to put barbed wire around the apartment? Would this be a good place for that? And I think this apartment would be...
Is this a defensible apartment?
It's defensible, yeah, because we don't have a lot of foliage out front, so we've got a good blast zone, a good fire zone. You know, you could protect...
You could drop oil on them out here from the office into the down
on right on top of their head.
Yeah, right.
When they come in, we can send Kate into the gate.
The dog?
To maul them to death.
Oh, yeah, she'd be great in a battle.
All right.
Shit. I've got, let's see, do we have time for a break yet? Almost, coming up. I've got a short story here.
Right.
You know how when you go to... restaurant or fast food or something. Sometimes Starbucks, they'll take your name or they'll, you know, somehow
they write your name on a cup.
Some kind of identifying information.
I used to do that when I was a barista.
On your receipt, though. Sometimes they put it, they'll actually type it into the system.
Ooh.
Oh, right.
To identify you.
What is some dumb...
Well,
I would have done that.
Pizza Hut.
Maybe not. I don't know what he said.
Is launching an investigation after a lady found a hand, the description.
Oh.
Pink fat lady.
Yes.
Pink
fat lady.
And I'm
sure it's a pink fat lady who's really upset right now.
Oh, shit.
She said, I just feel insulted. What's wrong with being plus size?
Nothing. That's just that we identified you as pink fat lady. We want you to get your fucking grande venti latte.
I'm a customer and
Tubby.
I pay for my pizza. not that I'm get it for free.
Apparently. Oh, it's pizza.
She's also
it's pizza.
Rocket scientist.
Well, how do you tell? Wait. You're identifying the customers who's getting what pizza by saying fat lady at Pizza Hut?
Pink fat lady.
Well, you have to add it.
Fat lady. It was on the receipt. Yeah. So they put it in instead of putting like, Sally gets the extra large deep dish meat lovers extra cheese pizza.
And a Diet Coke.
And a Diet Coke, yeah. The pink fat lady.
Fat lady definitely auto-completes.
Absolutely.
At Pizza Hut.
Sure, they don't have to. Well, which fat lady?
The pink one. The one in the pink outfit. Shit.
Pink fat lady.
God.
People get all upset about that kind of stuff.
She's a little upset.
Dude, one time me and Pat were in Venice at Abbott's Habit, this little coffee shop down there, and this barista, this coffee dude,
right.
You would write, you give him your name, and they'd write it on the cup. And this, in the order, I swear to God, we heard this guy say, "Grande latte for Jizz." Grande latte for Jizz.
And you laughed.
I laughed my ass off. And the fucking guy looks at me and was like, "Well, that's what it says." Jizz.
That's
hysterical. How did it, you think somebody, I think a customer said, "What's your name?" "My name's Jizz." And whoever was,
or
so tired.
And Jess. Or
Jess.
Yeah.
Oh, it was probably,
Jess.
Or something.
Hey,
Jizz.
Hey, listen. That's when you're a manager. You take your guys. I just listen.
Well, that's
it was Jizz.
That was. Those were those angry stoner baristas, though. This wasn't.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
These were.
They didn't care.
This is a local
little
place. It wasn't like a chain. It wasn't like Starbucks or anything.
Fine.
This is
Starbucks
a little local.
Get all bent out of shape.
No, this is a local place, and they were all stoned as fuck.
As a manager, I would say, and this is how I would handle. I'd say, listen. I appreciate your hard work here. The next time you think somebody wrote Jizz on the side of the cup, you see me. See me before you yell it out. That's all.
Just see me before you
look. You fucking idiot. Jizz?
Maybe don't yell Jizz in the coffee shop. Especially
jizz.
People using creamers.
I don't know. Coffee for Jizz.
Oh, man, there's a lot of white.
There's a lot
coffee
of white liquid being poured. We should take a break. What the fuck?
Right.
Let's go to our break here, ladies and gentlemen. It's hump day. What are your hump day plans? Give us a call, 855-862-7234-855-VOC-RADIO. It's a toll-free number brought to us courtesy of NetCarrier. Take your business to the end cloud. Save shit tons of money. Go to netcarrier.com for more details.
Shit tons.
On how to do that, like saving shit tons of money and stuff. We're going to be back. I got a story. Every time I see this fuck's face, this bald just cunt head.
Who is it?
Keith Abloh.
No!
I got a little Keith Abloh story.
This guy is such a tool.
For you.
Just don't like him.
Really is just the epitome of entitled white male cuntitude.
Didn't
it's
he say soccer?
Awful.
Yeah.
Soccer is turning us into pussies. Is this Keith Abloh?
Yeah.
Come on!
He does the O'Reilly thing when he was on that show with those four ninnies that...
outnumbered!
Outgunned or out,
really?
Outshitted, out whatever.
Outgunned.
And he sits there in the middle and they were talking about soccer, and one of the women was like, "Oh, my kids, you know, I didn't like soccer, but now I love it. My kids got into it. I love watching it. We watch it on TV together." And it was when World Cup was happening. And they were talking about how the ratings were skyrocketing in the United States and how soccer. And he's sitting there going, "Oh, come on. Nobody watches it. Come on. It's all hype. It's not a real sport. Nobody watches it.
Is there no reason that it's like the number one sport everywhere but here?"
Well, yeah. And he was it's like
why
the pussification of America
shit on it?
Playing soccer.
Why shit on it? I'm enjoying soccer. You got to shit on it? How dare you, Keith?
And then Ann Kunter, she's the one who came out and said it, right? It's emasculating America.
Oh, it is.
She goes, there's no losers.
There are losers.
I know.
What does she mean there's no losers?
I don't know. And
other than the bitch who's talking and doesn't know what she's talking about?
And then she's like, in football,
yeah.
People get, you know, they get penalties and they get thrown out and there's competition. And I'm like, do you know what a red card is, you stupid box?
Yeah.
People get thrown out. They get penalties. They get in trouble in fucking soccer, too.
Listen, I know, but did you see the story? You said, I know we're trying to take a break. Well, did you see the story about the kid in the hockey penalty box? It was on the HuffPo.
No.
His mom called into some, like, radio show, and her question was, how do I get my
kid I did see that.
To stop whacking off when he gets put in the penalty box?
It was Dear Abby or something.
Oh, was it?
She wrote in. And she said her son, he's 14 and he's jerking off everywhere and anywhere. And she said she found out that he's purposely getting penalties
right.
While playing
hockey
so he can snap one off in the penalty box.
I don't know. What is she?
That's a bold kid.
What are you supposed to do? I don't know what you do with that
kid.
Did
you read the response?
No.
Whoever, I don't know if it was Dear Abby, one of, you know, some idiot advice person, yeah. But she was kind of right on with this one. She said she jumped all over the mom and was like, she goes, the problem isn't that your kid is masturbating too much. The problem is that you have to write to a columnist to figure out how to talk to your kid about something a little bit embarrassing. She's like,
why are you coming to me?
The problem is that you're freaking out. You should have a relationship with your son where you should be like, you know what, this isn't really appropriate. You shouldn't. you know, blah, blah, blah. It's a natural thing. Do it in the bathroom or whatever. Rock on. But
right. To pretend you're Dr. Cliff Huxtable and explain it to your kid. That'll help.
And she even said, she goes, well, you know, it's normal at 14.
Right.
40.
I will add.
It's but, 14 until you die.
Right. And she said it's normal.
But you got
maybe
those,
not the penalty box.
And
thing.
You got
she
those, like,
that's maybe a little excessive.
You got those big hockey gloves on.
They may feel great. It might be like a fucking a fat chick.
But, like, I didn't think a penalty box was that, like. I took a second for that.
I don't know what that is. It's horrible.
It's
I
not
apologize.
Like a penalty box is like.
Pink fat lady.
Enclosed, right?
Fucking that bitch who went and got that pizza. we got to take a break. We're going to be back in a couple of minutes. Don't go away. Take a shit.
Change
we'll be back.
Scro guard.
Go get a pizza from Pizza Hut. We're pink.
Itching to talk to the crowd? Call 855-862-7234.
Live from the In the Room studios located in the Net Carrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Hey everyone, it is your favorite knockout, Mickey James, and you're listening to the VOC Nation.
Hey there, hi there, ho there. Thanks for coming on down. It's Save Wrestling, the podcast, and the business making town. I am your award-winning hostess with the mostest, Shelly Funtime Martinez, and she is my co-host, Dazzling Danielle.
Woo! Hello out there.
And together we are the Martinez Girls. You finally did it. And you can join us here Monday, new time, 6 p.m. Eastern on the VOC Nation as we save wrestling together, Danielle. Fighting crime. Woo!
Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room, thebradyhicks.com, and for the first time ever, vocnation.com. So happy to be part of the family. Join us each and every Tuesday night, 9, 8 Central, vocnation.com, thebradyhicks.com, myself, DJ, Derek McDonald, Ray Bogus, Anthony Sarlo, Kathy Fitz, breaking down all that's going on in wrestling today. And so much more.
Hey, it's me, the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. Netcarrier has many great products and services to increase your bottom line. Be sure to ask your Netcarrier representative about our hosted PBX. Call Netcarrier today for a free analysis of your phone bills. 877-255-7733. That's right, 877-255-7733. Call now.
The second building that was hit by the plane has just completely collapsed. The entire building has just collapsed as if a demolition team set off. When you see the old demolitions of these old buildings, it pulled it down on itself and it is not.
We are live with Carmine Confidential.
From Dallas, Texas, the Flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Like everyone else, you were born into bondage. Born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind.
Listen to Carmine Confidential. Weekdays at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. VOC Nation Radio Network.
The most polarizing personalities worldwide. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Looking for a DJ? Looking for someone to host your event? Then look no further. Philadelphia's hottest DJ and host, The Voice of Choice. The Voice of Choice has hosted the hottest events in the tri-state area. Book The Voice of Choice for all your karaoke, conventions, and parties. Go to www.vocnation.com for more information or email the Voice of Choice at voc@vocnation.com.
Are you getting lost in the cloud? Is technology moving too fast for you? Find your way at netcarrier.com. Ride the end cloud and soar above your competition.
This is Buggy Nova, your Candyland princess, and I want everyone to know that I love VOCNation.com.
Hey, how's it going? This is Amy Dumas, but you may know me as Lita. You're listening to the VOC Nation.
slowly rolling my panties down for Crab Nation. Your host, Patrick Vile and Ryan Pfeiffer.
Nation, crabdiving.com, you know, et cetera, et cetera. The music in the beginning was Diamonds and Pearls.
I picked it.
Which was supposed to be Prince.
Right.
Diamonds and Pearls.
Because I gave you diamonds and pearls.
And I wasn't...
That song.
I wasn't paying attention. I didn't have a lot of time, so I just took the URL, downloaded the song, and then uploaded it to the radio station here.
That's kind of my fuck.
And hit play.
I mean, I should have, you know.
But now
it.
We just found out it's Diamonds and Pearls by Kansas from their 1982 Vinyl Confessions tour.
Wait, then that is
that's not even the Prince song Diamonds and Pearls.
Because the Prince song came out in the '90s.
Yeah.
So they have some other Kansas has some song. It's not as good as
this one. You could confuse Prince with Kansas.
Prince, Kansas, what's the difference, y'all?
Although the first on YouTube, the first comment is they should say it's not Prince.
Right.
So apparently some
they really
people.
Should.
And then this person, Michelle, a few comments down, is really angry. This is all in capitals. This is some bullshit. I agree with Michelle.
I love reading people's comments on stuff sometimes. It's so
I think
funny.
People are looking for Prince.
They get all upset.
So I don't think you were the first one
pleased
by Diamonds and Pearls.
Right. 1991, that's when that Prince album came out. I don't know about the Kansas.
Well, it was their 82 tour.
Right. So
Diamonds and Pearls, Kansas.
Shit. You got to pay attention to what you're doing. You know what I mean? I'm bitching about people not knowing their job. I don't know my job. I sent you that. I opened the show with. Way to fuck up the whole 2 hours.
If you go to our Facebook, ladies and gentlemen, Facebook.com.
We'll link to that shitty song.
/ crab diving. Yeah, we'll put a link to the Kansas song.
What's their biggest song? What was their biggest song? Like, I think it was When Doves Cry. Was that it?
Right. Purple Rain.
Yeah. That would be funny if a story came out. It was like we did some research and we realized that Prince like plagiarized 75% of his catalog from the band Kansas. Kansas, like, that's another shitty.
Oh, Carry On My Wayward Son.
Oh, yeah, carry
and
on
Dust
on.
In the Wind.
Wait, they do
karaoke. All we are is dust in the wind. That one.
Oh, they're awesome. Kansas is awesome, then.
Carry on my wayward son.
Kansas is an American rock band.
You are done.
Popular in the 70s. Hit singles such as Carry On, Wayward Son, Dust in the Wind. 8 gold albums. 3 sextuple platinum.
Didn't they always have like cool album covers with like UFO shit on it, like Kansas in some like groovy like font or whatever? Or am I thinking of somebody
else? You're thinking of Yes, maybe. See, no.
Well,
Kansas
of any 70s.
A lot of them have that.
The only reason I remember it is I think I probably like ordered albums from the like Columbia House thing, and then like that was like never returned the cards, and like I was constantly just
how much
signing up for that shit. My mom would pay it off and then end it, and then I'd be oh good, I can get another 20 free albums.
Oh my god, I remember those record clubs.
But I'd never return the cards, so albums would just show up, and I think that was like one of them why I remember it.
Those things.
My mom was always pissed.
They're fucking evil.
Kansas still touring.
Oh wow,
it's funny. You know, on their Wikipedia they have different sections. 1970 to 73, early years. 74 to 79, rise to national prominence. 80 to 84, creative tensions.
Uh-oh, somebody got pissed
dun,
off.
Dun, dun, dun.
Don't, these bands, listen, America loves you because you're making Kansas songs. Don't stop making Kansas songs.
1985 to 90, reformation.
Don't do that. That's a bad idea.
No, reformation means we're broke.
They got back together.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. We smoked away all that
this
money.
Hey,
give me the chord chart to Dust in the Wind.
Got seven
baby
kids.
Mama wants the money.
Yeah.
7 kids, 3 wives.
Right.
Apparently, Steve Walsh just retired in 2014.
Oh, Steve Walsh was in
Kansas.
Lead
singer.
Oh, shit. I bet you any amount of money there's some Kansas in my record collection right in there. There has to be. I know I got some Kansas. It's like when you go to a yard sale and there's records, there's always Kansas and there's fucking always Yes.
There's always Yes.
How many albums of Yes were printed into vinyl? I mean, there must be a billion.
Right.
That's all you see. That and Jethro Tull. Remember Jethro Tull?
Oh, yeah. I used to like Jethro Tull, actually.
I like
kind of grand.
Right. What do you mean?
Because they always had, like, the orchestra shit and everything.
Oh, yeah,
It wasn't just, like, a rock band. It was, like, there was more to it. I was like, okay, I can get really high and listen to this shit.
Oh, yes. I met Jethro.
I discovered Jethro when I was living in Cripple Creek, Colorado that one summer. There was a dude that lived in my house that loved it. And he
Cripple
was
Creek.
It.
Wow.
What? How did the creek get its name?
I don't know, because it crippled along, I reckon.
There's
it was
song.
Like, that one, up on Cripple Creek.
Yeah, we
creek,
did that song with the band.
She fends me if I sprang a leak. She
fends me. I don't have to speak. We did that one, because the Oak Ridge Boys did that song.
Dream if I ever did see
there you go.
One. I used to love it.
Who does that song?
Well, it's a lot of people, but I remember the Oak Ridge Boys doing a version specifically of
Cripple Creek.
Oh, the Oak Ridge Boys doing it. I never heard that.
Yeah,
they played it all over that little town all the time. But it was a gold mining town way back when. And apparently at one point in time, Cripple Creek had more whorehouses than any other place in the country.
Oh, yeah. It's Deadwood.
It was such a gold mining town. Like, everybody flocked there, I guess.
It was like Deadwood.
It's like Deadwood. And then, but they actually have a, I mean, it was 92 the summer I lived there, so it was like a while ago. But there was a whorehouse museum there because there was. Because apparently at one point in time there was a street that had –
what
was
in
all,
the
whorehouse? It was like the red light district.
Hey.
And the further – like the house that's the museum now was like the chicken ranch, like
right.
The nice one.
Oh, yeah.
And then
– did they just cut out like jizz stains off
no,
the,
no,
off
no.
the
they
walls
had,
and stuff?
They had a
yeah,
plaque. Pretty much.
They had a plaque by a glory hole.
Yeah. But apparently the further down the street you went, the further the cheaper the whores got. So if you were way down at the end of the street, there were like penny whores, but you like dollar whores were up at the top of the hill.
Billy the Kid came here.
Yeah. But and the funny thing about that museum too is there's like two little old ladies who are like the tour guides. So like they like take you through about it. It's so funny. It was I had like I
and
when
this
I was
is,
there I had to go.
This
day.
Is the lube room.
The brothels.
This is where all the different lubes are used.
The house I lived in was a brothel at one point.
Oh, yeah?
Because you could tell, because when you walked in the front door,
smell?
There was a big room.
Oh.
No, it was too old
anymore,
and large.
Yeah.
Open
it,
there was a big
out.
Room to the right that had a big plate glass window so you could see in. Like, that's what we used, like, the living room with the TV and shit. And then when you went upstairs, it had a huge room that was the madam's room. And as you went down the hall, the rooms got smaller. There was, like, rooms on either side of this hall.
Oh, man.
So I just called it the brothel.
Did they have a room with, like, a viewing room? Like,
yeah, that was, like, the main room.
The
when
main
you first
room?
Walked in the door, the stairs went up the left. And then just directly to the right was, like, the big viewing window. And then, like, a nice little parlor room in there.
Oh, shit.
Nice. And that's where they said, like, that was coming out. I'll take that one. And then they'd go upstairs. And if they were one of the better girls, they'd get a bigger room to do it in.
Oh,
if it was one of the newer or the, like, less experienced girls, you'd end up down at the end of the hall in their little teensy room.
You got to work your way up.
You do.
Down the hallway. Shit. It's funny. Cripple Creek.
Yeah, Cripple Creek was a trip. People were crazy in that town, too, because it was also the first year they had gambling when I lived there.
Oh, my God.
So, like, all the locals were kind of pissed because all these new people were in, and then all these new people were coming in. It was crazy. It was a really crazy summer.
Yeah, when I was living in Chicago, they went through this, you know, they have this beautiful lakefront area downtown near Grant Park. And I guess, what's
yeah.
it called now? The Olympic
Park? Or whatever, yeah.
You know, they wanted to put gambling boats. They wanted to park gambling boats right off Grant Park, but nobody would do it because they were worried it would, like, ruin the
bring
city.
Bring the miscreants.
Yeah.
Bring all the riffraff in from the skirts.
I don't know.
They got the Bean.
Oh, yes. The Bean's beautiful.
The Bean is really fucking cool.
Chicago's a great city. It's just too fucking cold,
it's a
man.
It's giant.
Too cold.
When they first proposed it, everybody was like, you got to be kidding me. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Now everybody fucking loves it. It's like everything. They hated the Eiffel Tower in Paris when they put it up. Now.
But Soldier Field now looks horrible. You got to admit that.
It does.
That's a horrendous.
But it's a giant. It's a bean.
Like
a pinto
bean?
Like a bean. But it's highly polished stainless steel.
It's amazing.
So it's. Like a mirror.
Oh,
it's so shiny. It's a big...
Yeah.
Oh, Beantown's Boston.
Oh, that is Boston.
Yeah. Take your medication. Go hang out
and
there.
Why a bean in Chicago? So, but what's the point of it being a bean?
I don't
think it's supposed to be.
It's a coffee bean,
it looks
right?
like a bean. It's a giant sculpture of art, but...
It's
it
a blob.
Like a bean.
Yeah, it's kind of blobby.
It's a blob.
I don't know that it was intended to
it's
be a bean.
Supposed to look like antimatter.
Per se. Oh,
shit.
here's something for you.
What?
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Hello, Kansas. We should open the
yeah.
I'll save that for tomorrow's
yeah.
show.
I tell you, man, there'd be nothing better than play the electric guitar back in the 80s or the late 70s,
yeah.
some of those badass bands.
Big hair and stuff. And
oh, shit.
Bad.
And you could, before AIDS, you could fuck everything.
Oh, that's right.
Everything.
And not worry about it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, you
maybe,
could, but at least
well,
it was
penicillin,
terrible.
Right.
Right, yeah.
A little penicillin.
Well, I guess herpes they had to worry about, but that
did
even,
they have herpes in the 70s? Was that getting around a lot?
I think it was starting to,
was
wasn't it?
It? I don't know.
When did herpes, like, really become?
I don't
like
know.
The 80s? Was it
Kate,
like the
check the almanac.
No, I heard you.
Check the farmer's almanac.
You can catch it on a plane.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Could you imagine taking a shitty flight from Cleveland to St. Louis or wherever the fuck?
Dallas. Fort Worth.
And now,
now you might have Ebola.
Oh, kill me.
Even worse.
Like,
I had Ebola
I would want to beat that woman's ass if I was in that plane. I really would. I would be so fucking. I wouldn't even be scared I had it because I would at least educated enough to know that if I wasn't like rubbing up against her or whatever, that
right.
chances are I'm fine for the most part. But
you don't know.
Like, I would want to be. I would be like, I want to beat that bitch's ass, is what I would think.
Right. And then.
I'd be like, I want to fucking take her out. I want to, like.
Well, think about it, man. How horrible that be. You get Ebola, then you land in Cleveland. Ugh.
Hey,
oh,
but you got, like.
Well, Texas.
Texas. So
either way.
But then, so, like, how, like, yeah, it's like. What, so what is, like, that? How does that play in this? Like, so if you're a nurse or a doctor or whatever who's, like, trying to help these people. Now it's like it's going to be stigma attached. That'd be like, oh, you were helping like somebody with Ebola. Like people, are they going to go back into that beginning of AIDS thing where they wouldn't want to touch nobody or doorknobs?
Yeah, I mean, what about?
I even saw a thing where like in a college somewhere, like in the door handles in their buildings now, it basically the door handles release a coating of that like that Purell kind of shit you rub on your hands.
Oh, you mean automatically?
Yeah, so that when you open the door, it's on there. So when you open the door, then you let go, rub your hands together. It's on the handle, like
I love
the
it.
Handle part.
I love it.
But
that's perfect.
That's
not necessary.
Well, but that's one of the reasons that a lot of these little snot-nosed fuckwad kids
sick.
Are getting sick. Yeah, because
why?
Immune
people
systems.
Do not develop an immune system anymore because everything is so sanitized. Like
right.
Mothers are now rubbing kids down with all this shit that they don't get a germ or a speck of dirt on them. And then when they do see like a bacteria or a virus or something, that thing takes control because your body doesn't know how to combat it.
Well,
right.
And they're
instead
mutating.
Of getting little teeny bits of it all the time to where your body goes, oh, I know what that is, zap.
And the diseases
are
mutating because of the
right.
antibiotics.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, look at all
the
these.
The overprescribed antibiotics. Like two-thirds of the times they just prescribe them, they shouldn't. I even read a thing that said that you should always go to the doctor early in the morning because they've done these studies now that prove that by the end of the day, they're kind of tired and don't give a shit anymore. So they basically, like, they write all kind of prescriptions that they shouldn't and stuff just to be like, oh, fine, here, take it. Like, they're so over it by that point day. They're like, okay, all right, fine, just to get you to shut the fuck up, here's your goddamn penicillin that you don't need.
Well, no.
So that you can, like...
If you want Vicodin, that's when you go in the afternoon.
I guess so.
Yeah, if you want Vicodin or something, fine.
To pick up your drugs,
please. I guess that's true. If you want Xanax or Vicodin or the good stuff, go later in the day. But if you really feel like shit and... You, like, honestly think you're sick, go early in the morning because your doctor's going to be better equipped to cure your ass.
Speaking of doctors.
Yes.
I don't know how this man got an MD and became a psychiatrist, but somehow Dr. Keith Abloh.
What a gross dude.
That's a horrible name, Abloh.
Resident fuckwad.
Mr.
Psychiatrist
Abloh.
On Fox, quote, news, unquote.
Jerk off.
Part of the this article says Fox's medical A team.
Oh my God! Stop it.
So they were talking about the Ebola and the president and stuff like that. And this is Keith Abloh has gone ape shit crazy now.
But
I remember he used to be on Howard Stern,
right?
And he was kind of cool.
Yeah,
he wasn't.
He was okay.
Out of his fucking skull. Now he's on Fox Cunting News, and. Has gone off the deep end.
You know, the first time...
Why is he a psychiatrist?
The first time he lost his mind was when he made that... Didn't he make some weird comment about gay marriage or something? Like Keith Abloh said something shitty on Fox?
Dogs.
What
he's come
it?
Up with the dog thing.
Oh, like, yeah.
Pretty soon you're going to be able to marry your dog.
This is a dude that thinks because people want to, like, get married. Two men or two women want to get married, then that means that... The next thing to come along is we're all going to want to fuck dogs. Marry our dogs.
Or
we're gonna
you can fuck them. It's marrying
them.
Wait. You can also marry a doorknob. You can marry the doorknob that squirts sanitizer into your hand.
And that would probably be a more sanitary fucking mate than this motherfucker.
Yeah.
Certainly more sanitary than a preacher from Alabama.
And he's the one that was complaining about dress codes at colleges that women dress like little whores and sluts. That the boys there, like his son's at university right now, and he's trying to learn. He doesn't need those distractions from you little hussies, you whores.
Have you not noticed that girls have been dressing like whores and sluts in college since like the fucking 50s?
Well, and how about teaching?
50s at least.
Thank
God.
Teach your privileged asshole crotch spawn. Not to rape.
Right.
How about that?
Yeah.
Don't blame the girls for looking hot.
Yeah, I'm sorry your son's so fucking stupid that he's distracted by a skirt and can't learn geometry.
You can't raise a kid with self-control.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not. I'm white male. Shouldn't tempt me.
Right. I'm a white guy.
really? I don't know. I mean, Keith Abloh is just one of these. Like, a lot of these guys I find laughable, you know, or whatever. Some of them you could even maybe have a beer with. Like, Pat... Buchanan, I could sit and have a beer with because he seems like he's an affable person. Horrific,
although
beliefs.
But you could at least
agree
to disagree.
But he's civil to people
of.
And stuff. There's something about Keith Abloh.
I imagine
so revolting to me and disgusting.
Pat Buchanan.
I couldn't be in the room with Keith Abloh.
If you think about it, Pat
you know
Buchanan
I mean?
Has probably been on the end of some pretty horrible political decisions.
Oh, he's he should probably be in.
I mean,
jail for war crimes. I don't know. Wasn't he involved in the Reagan administration or something?
I don't know.
But
he did some rough shit, I imagine.
And his views are horrific, but a nice guy.
Right.
But Keith Abloh, there's nothing remotely.
Yeah, he's a dick. He's a dick. You know,
attractive,
I mean?
About hanging out with Keith Avalon or talking to him or whatever. He's just a vile cum stain. So,
yay.
On Tuesday's edition of the John Gibson Show on Fox News Radio.
Hi, John.
Fox News Radio.
Ooh,
how
damn.
About that, huh?
Listen to crabdiving.com.
Do yourself a favor.
Avalon decided to take, quote, a deep look inside the president's psyche.
Gross. If I was the president, I'd be like, hey, Keith, don't do anything deep inside me, please.
I don't think Keith could do anything deep inside anybody.
Leave me alone. Don't look at me.
So he said that Obama doesn't want to seal the borders.
How do you do that?
Or build a wall. You know, these people think it would be so easy to build a 1,500-mile
wall. Seal the borders.
Wall.
Yellow and blue make green. Don't work like that.
It only took the Chinese 1,000 years.
Yes.
So he said that Obama doesn't want to do that because he sees Americans as, quote, a scourge on the face of the earth. So this alleged psychiatrist, this fraud of a healthcare professional.
You're a scourge.
Is analyzing our president and has said, well, he doesn't want to do it because he thinks Americans are a scourge on the face of the earth.
Well, some of them are, you know.
Yeah, this guy who's saying it.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's a jerk.
Yeah, right. The truth is like,
well, yes, Keith, you're right. You are a scourge.
And when we build that wall, can we make sure you're on the other side of it?
Are all the old fucking asshole white guys like you? Also said, quote, his affinity, his affiliations are with them.
Yay.
Not with us. That's what people seem unwilling to accept. He's their leader. We don't have a president.
Jeez.
And Gibson said, we don't have a president? We don't have a president who has the American people as his primary interest, who believes the country has a manifest destiny and has been a force for good. There's that manifest destiny shit again.
Oh,
that creepy
because
America was shat out by Jesus to run the universe.
Oh,
what
God.
Does he think? What does Abloh think Obama does all day? Fantasy football? He's working for the fucking country.
He's
trying
to give people health care and had nothing but fucking piss and vinegar thrown at him nonstop the whole time.
But that's tearing the country down.
Some people are into that. You can go to a certain room in the whorehouse and they got a whole bunch of piss and vinegar for you.
This is the piss and vinegar room.
And that's where this Abloh motherfucker will be.
He loves it.
He also said that Obama was only elected because Americans are victim of Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, Stockholm.
They decided to elect somebody who has names very similar to two of our arch enemies, Osama and Hussein.
Oh, shut the fuck up. Did he say that?
America elected, quote, somebody who has names very similar to two of our arch enemies, Osama, Obama, and Hussein.
Oh, my God. Well, he's funny.
So Americans are deluded into liking their evil enemies, Osama and Saddam Hussein.
Where did he go to medical
and that's
school?
Why we elected Barack Hussein Obama.
That's some Phoenix University talk.
This is a credentialed, alleged
credentialed
psychiatrist.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oof.
And this is the shit that he's coming out
and
with.
And that's
what's psychiatrist,
scary.
Man. He's gonna help you. He's gonna help your brain. He's gonna make you. What does he do? Make you think better?
And what it does is it removes the United States from its rightful place at the leading edge of a march for freedom in this world and encourages those who hate freedom.
You know, that is
like
that's a good Keith Avalon. That really sounds like him. That's his cadence.
Encourages those who hate freedom like ISIL to go on their own march, which they have.
What the fuck? What the fuck are we all doing? What is he have us doing? I'm going on a march. Obama's not doing it. No one's doing anything.
Well, because
the fuck is happening?
Well, Obama has us fleeced, and then we're not out marching in the world and swinging the big cock of freedom, our big red, white, and blue dick.
I don't want to march.
Spraying it all over everybody like they deserve.
Skrogard.
It's hate freedom like ISIL are on the march because of Obama,
God.
And that's who he supports. And this is what
he's a bomber.
This man
believes.
The problem is that I don't know why they think that people with these fringe ideas deserve equal time.
How much does he make?
I don't get it either. It's like, because you know why? Because people, like, they listen to the, like, hysteria of it all. That's what they buy into. There's the hysteria of it.
Right.
If you create hysteria.
They love it. That's why they love this Ebola. On Fox, they're having to wear scroguards to keep their boners in.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to disguise them. They're so excited about all the terror and
everything. Scroguards should be paying us.
And the way it stands right now, too, like, you have better chance of getting hit by a car and killed walking across the street than you do having to deal with Ebola in this country right now.
That's right.
Well, Brent, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me
here today. I'm
fun.
Sure Brent will be back here on Crab Nation. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We're here every goddamn freaking weekday, 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific, 3 to 5 p.m. on the Eastern Type Coast. Download us after the show. I don't know, Stitcher, Pod, somewhere. Go to crabdiving.com for all your crab diving needs. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at crabdiving. Facebook.com/crabdiving. The very funny Mr. Ryan Pfeiffer at Rated R Comedy.
Follow very funny Patrick Vile on Twitter at Vile Experience.
Brent Paris. Twitter at Brent Paris, 2 R's. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Everything and anything about us is at crabdiving.com. Back tomorrow.
Ebola.
This has been Crab Nation. Did you get your itch scratched? If you want more of the crab, download the Crab Diving Podcast on iTunes or crabdiving.com. Catch the crabs on Twitter at crabdiving. And on Facebook at facebook.com/crabdiving. Thanks for listening.